So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Suta Goswami said, O learned Brahmanas, Maharaj Parikshit then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord under the instructions of the best twice-born Brahmanas. He ruled by those great qualities which were foretold by expert astrologers at the time of his birth. So, purport. Bear with me. It's quite a long purport, but there's much to be said in here. It's very juicy. It's sort of a Prabhupada revealing so many things in the power and gift of his transcendental narration. At the time of Maharaj Parikshit's birth, thank you, the expert astrologer Brahmanas foretold some of his qualities. Maharaj Parikshit developed all those qualities, being a great devotee of the Lord. The real qualification is to become a devotee of the Lord. And gradually, all the good qualities worthy of possession develop. Maharaj Parikshit was a Mahabhagavat, or a first-class devotee, who was not only well-versed in the science of devotion, but also able to convert others to become devotees by his transcendental instructions. Maharaj Parikshit was therefore a devotee of the first order, and thus he used to consult the great sages and the learned brahmanas who could advise him by the shastras how to execute the state administration. Such great kings were more responsible than the modern elected executive heads. Sorry, because they obliged the great authorities by following their instructions left in the Vedic literatures. There is no need for impractical fools to enact a new legislative bill, excuse me, and to conveniently alter it again and again, simply to serve some purpose. The rules and regulations were already set forth in the by great sages like Manu, Yajnavalkya, Parashara, and other liberated sages, and their enactments were all suitable for all ages in all places. Therefore, the rules and regulations were standard without flaw or defect. Kings like Maharaj Parikshit had their council advisors, and all the members of that council were either great sages or brahmanas of the first order. They did not accept a salary, nor had they any necessity for such salaries. The state would get the best advice without expenditure. They were themselves samadarshi, equal to everyone, both man and animal. They would not advise the king to give protection to a man and instruct him to kill poor animals. Such council members were not fools or representatives or to compose a fool's paradise. They were all self-realized souls, and they knew perfectly well how all living beings in the state would be happy, both in this life and in the next. They were not concerned with the hedonistic philosophy of eat, drink, and merry, be merry, and enjoy. They were philosophers in the real sense. And they knew well what the mission of human life. Under all these obligations, the advisory council of the king would give correct directions, and the king, or the executive head, being himself a qualified devotee of the Lord, would scrutinizingly follow them for the welfare of the state. The state in those days of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Maharaj Parikshit was a welfare state in the real sense of the term, because no one was unhappy in that state, be he man or animal. Maharaj Parikshit was an ideal king for the welfare of the state of the world. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobhistam Saptam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Savapatantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanavitam Tam Sajivam Savetam Savatutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanavitam Cha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Manostate Tapta Kanchana Gorenge Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So, a very wonderful start to this 16th chapter. And going back to the translation, Sutta Goswami said, O learned Brahmanas, Maharaj Parikshit began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord, under the instructions of the best of the twice-born Brahmanas. He ruled by those qualities which were foretold by expert astrologers. That was very interesting, because Prabhupada, he speaks of on this verse how they're advised by these expert brahmanas, also spiritual masters, guides, spiritual guides. And it's under the, you could say, the Vanashram Dharma of, but the Vanashram Dharma, which is the Sanatana Dharma, which connects with the Lord. It is, and actually, unusual thing is that Maharaj Parikshit, he knew his fate right from the beginning. You know, I was looking that up, and it's very interesting to see what Prabhupada said. He actually knew his own astrological chart, which is quite incredible. He knew his fate, yet he carried on to rule. He didn't let these things dominate him. He understood that actually what is spoken already in Shastra is the ultimate astrological chart. It's the full astrological chart that we should follow. And so it's interesting to note, astrology they talk about in this world has many forms, and different areas follow different paths on astrological charts, it seems. But this is based on Bhrigu Samhita, Bhrigu, great sage, quoted in Bhagavad Gita. He says, of all sages, munis, I'm a Bhrigu, he says. So Bhrigu, and it's scientific, it's authorized by the Lord. He's giving instructions under the guidance of the great sages. And Bhrigu is an empowered person by the Lord to give us this information to whoever wishes to embark on it. It's there's a lot to it, and if you go to Mayapur, there's a person called Bhaktipurna Vidya Maharaj who has such in-depth knowledge of these literatures, and he's helping so many people to go into this tattva, you know, because they feel the need to know more. It's quite deep. So here, Bhagavatam, it's the essence. It has its own tattva. And that is basically that, as you can see in the previous verse, it says, with the departure of the sons of Pandu, the ultimate goal of life back to Godhead is fully auspicious and is perfectly pure. Therefore, anyone who hears this narration of the devotional path certainly gains devotional service to the Lord and the highest perfection of life. So, in that last chapter, that's the end of that last chapter, and where he says, certainly, they knew the goal, they knew what they had to gain. And he says, if we hear this narration, devotional service gains, he certainly gains devotional service to the Lord, which is the perfection of life. So that's interesting, isn't it? Because in Shikshakshtakam, I'm just trying to think, Nadahanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Vajagat Ishakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shi Yam Janmani Ishvara Bhavatad Bhakti Ahi Tuki Tivaye. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. All I want is your causeless devotional service. But then he says, birth after birth. But that's very interesting. You see, when one's in devotional service, it is the highest goal. It's the service, and it's non-different from Krishna. It's you could say it's the female expression of Krishna. It's the relationship with Krishna that we can give and or been asked to give towards Krishna, either by the Achavigraha, you know, they hear, they're practicing their devotional service, and They're starting to realize, actually, and as Radha Govinda nicely expressed, his little journey to the progress in doing deity service, how, in fact, things become reveal themselves. That once you know your service, it becomes almost yours. It's for you. You know what to do. Somehow you know what to do with the right hand. You know what to do with the right hand. You know what to do with the right hand. You know the left hand's a sort of useless commodity somehow or other in certain services. And so that there's a development, a spiritual development. And so with the, it is with the Bhagavatam. As we work through Bhagavatam, through the 12 cantos, there's a spiritual progress. And there's many tattvas, which Maguru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, is exploring through his, its overview of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's, I think they're up to maybe the 10th now episode of this. And it's very wonderful, because what he's trying to do, in essence, is to know the nature of this Srimad Bhagavatam. But another thing that inspired me recently, and it was reading this book by Mother Vishakha Dasi Prabhu. She's done this book 11 years, 11 months, of unexpected lifetime of unexpected love. And it was a wonderful interview, but she talked about the widows of Vrindavan. How that somehow they become useless in their households and they're told to leave. And I used to feel sorry for them until I read this book. Because they revealed to her a nobility in their identical plight. In other words, all of them, they were together. They formed another family. That actually they supported each other, and that their respect for the Supreme Lord and their enhancement of worship became greater. That actually they knew the goal of life. Somehow or other, their predicament had developed into something very wonderful. You know, they become Brajabasis, but in a higher sense, in that they weren't concerned about anything but what was happening now and what they were doing together and how they could help each other. And that's what's happening here. Our concern is first and foremost, we're here to form support for the deities, that their protection is needed and to be looked after. And that all of us here somehow form a part of that support. And so when we start to understand that we're all important in whatever we're doing, in relationship to each other and the support of each other, it comes out as a magic formula. That actually that we are part of the team, that we should inspire each other as best we can. You know, some people, they come up to me and they say, oh, this is very difficult, what should we do? Sri Sri Adagokun Nandikesha, Sri Sri Gornitai Kesha, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. And we start to realize that we're important to each other, and that somehow I'm referring to myself here. My behavior leaves something to be desired, or the way I express myself, and that's for certain. Because all of a sudden you think what comes out your mouth, boom, is like the modes of material nature. You're still not cured. You're still, you know, you become smashed by your own inadequacy. And this is hopefully self-realization as well. Because it's like Sutapa was helping us the other day. What do we do? Is it hopeless? You know, what's the hope for us? But then he kindly elaborated that actually it's not quite like that. That actually it is a journey, it is a path that we all have to travel in some way or other, but we're not perfect, we must understand we're not perfect, but the path is there to be trodden to the end of our lives. And it's unceasing education. And Prabhupada, he says, we're eternal students of the Lord. And so realizing that. But what I'd like to know is also that we have this recycle of birth and death. And astrological charts. Prabhupada explains that families have astrological charts done. It's a Vedic custom when they're born that they get an astrological chart. Very interesting. So astrological charts are basically, it's a map of our previous life's existence, what our nature is, maybe for this existence, and also goes into our future existence. But also, we start to know that devotional service is another dimension to this. So this Bhrigu Samhita is still from the Lord. Bhrigu is a great sage. He's doing a job. He's helping people find out their nature. They do it when they're young. So the parents can have guidance. That they don't say, oh, because I'm a doctor, you're going to become a doctor. They don't do like that. No, the chart is a formula that has come to help them in their guidance for their path in this world. They don't belong to us. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, they belong to me. We all belong to him. And we won't all be Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. Otherwise, you know, what could we do? No, there's an expanding position in the spiritual world where it's dynamic, it's ever-changing and ever-fresh. It seems that Prabhupada explained to his devotees, do we keep the same role in the spiritual world? He says, no, it's dynamic. It can change. It's on a spontaneous platform. We're out to find our relationship with Krishna in service. And in the spiritual world, that service is dynamic. So we don't know what happens to these great souls that have reached a certain level of realization. And what? Because there is no final position. It's a dynamic, ever spontaneous development of the soul wanting to please Krishna. And it's Purushottam month, the month of Krishna, the supreme male. And we're Prakriti, that we're the serving potency of the Lord, as is Radharani. They're the pleasure potency of the Lord. And it's an amazing thing that you just start to realize how this, it's a cosmic jigsaw puzzle. He says, aham sarasya prabhavo matasavam pravatate. He says, I'm the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So, knowing this, we're in the 25% material world. And so-called, this is what we're told by great sages, great mahajanas, that this is of the existence. But also, there's three quarters, which is the spiritual world. The realized souls, they're there. But somehow or other, we've come to this part of the section because of some minute independence or desire for independence, as children do have. Astrological chart, it's all there. And we can see the changes in our lives. We are all adopted children. Krishna was adopted, wasn't he? Isn't he? Yes, he is. In the spiritual world, he has a mother. He has the same pastimes of what we see in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. It's what he wants. He wants a mother. He wants a father. He wants an intimate relationship as a friend. He wants all these things. He wants intimacy. And in this intimacy, with the aid of Yogamaya, whoever is assisting him in, that actually, that what we see in Srimad Bhagavatam is also helping us understand that there's a place to go, and that what is Lord Chaitanya's revealed to us is the essence of a devotee in separation. This crying for Krishna, this feeling separation for Krishna, in each of us having a relationship with him. And so, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, we must learn to cry for Krishna. And actually, if you'll find in your devotional life, if you don't cry, I'd be surprised. Because he says, we must learn this art of crying for Krishna. But it is difficult and it is painful at times. But it's the greatest pain. No pain, no gain. It has to be a painful path. Bhaktisiddhanta, he says, the road or the path to the God is bestrewn with thorns. Yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he says this. So, we have to know that actually it's not an easy path, but the path in the material world is an impossible path. Because there's no satisfaction, there's no happiness, there's no bliss, there's no goal, just death, birth and death, disease, old age. It's a terrible alternative thought. So it says here, for the good of the people, Parikshit became a great devotee. And he was a Mahajan. He was a great soul. And that he was giving the people what their real needs were, which was the devotional service to the Lord, the final conclusion. And so I'll just read from you, from Mother Vishaka's book here. It says, in the afternoon I saw, these are the Vrindavan widows, I saw these same women scattered throughout the town, giving water to pilgrims, cooking rice, begging from shopkeepers, cleaning with those absurdly short brooms, offering prayers in the temple, talking with friends, drying and gathering the cow dung patties. They seemed secure in their apparently impoverished lives. Decades later, I learned that the estranged family sent their widows and childless women to Vrindavan. Even modern families abandoned these burdensome women on God's doorstep. But the widows I observed in those early days seemed to be grateful to be in Vrindavan. At least some of them appeared to have declared their independence from the rigid caste hierarchy and petty family squabbles that often pervaded them in the Indian society, and from the ambition of complexities. It was clear to me, with my nascent spiritual senses, that there would have been some point reached, a rare point of satiation, and that material things had moved into a more transcendent world. All I saw them was serving their sister widows. They seemed angelic to me. Some of them were grasping the neediness of often seen poor was visible, and they seemed selfless. I saw some of them, these widows, giving portions of their rations to hungry dogs and cows. They seemed spontaneously joyful, having embraced the humility of their circumstances. I was inspired, I watched them, and These human beings, these few evolved human beings, I was not alone. Other Vrindavans seemed exceptionally fond of these abandoned widows. What a message. The simplicity of life, which Sid Sutapa talked about. He talked about simplicity and the complexities we make for ourselves if we're not careful. Self-made duties. And it's something to be aware of, simplicity. So I'll stop there. Are there any points of questions on what I expressed there? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Prabhupada mentions in his purport that the rules and regulations were already set forth by great sages like Manu, Yajnavalkya, Parashara. And then he said, these enhancements were all suitable for all ages in all places.
Yes.
So, that's true. I don't know if you read Manu Samhita.
No.
But in Manu Samhita, there are certain rules and regulations which are very, very strict, very powerful.
Yeah.
And they kind of even sometimes very like deadly. In a sense that if you do this, straight away you have to be killed.
Yeah.
So, and Prabhupada is pointing here that all time, all ages,
yeah,
they can be followed, they have to be followed.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for us as devotees?
The Vedic principles are always there. But Srimad Bhagavatam and Lord Chaitanya come to rescue us from this with a holy name. The final goal is a loving relationship with Krishna. As devotees, and devotees of the devotees. And Krishna says in 3.16.8, and this is one for the cooks, Canto 3, chapter 16, text 8. He says, he who cooks for my devotees, he's... I haven't got it here. If you look at 3.16.8, it says that basically... Krishna says himself, I relish these delicacies that are offered for my devotees more than all the sacrifices and rules and regulations of the Vedas. So, if can I look? Thank you. He says, I do not enjoy the oblations offered by sacrifices in the sacrificial fire, which are one of my mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee offered to the mouths of the brahmanas who have dedicated to me the results of their activities, who are ever satisfied by my prasad. The devotee of the Lord, or Vasudeva, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord, since the Vaishnav declares... I won't be sad. I lost the place there. He dedicates the results of his activities to the Lord, who he does not taste anything eatable which is not first offered to him. The Lord also relishes giving the Vaishnava's mouth all eatables offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmana's mouth. So, articles gained and ghee are offered in the sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the brahmanas and devotees, but elsewhere is stated, whatever is given to the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is stated, he accepts the offerings to the mouths of the brahmanas and Vaishnavas with even more relish. And that's our goal. to give him offerings that he can relish, because the cooks have such a special position. It's amazing. It's an intermediary between the Lord and his devotees, because he accepts and relishes. The Lord gets pleasure. He relishes these offerings. Thank you for your thing. I didn't read the rest of it because it's a very long thing there. But so we understand that, you know, what these Vrindavan widows were doing, whatever they were doing, they were serving each other. They were serving the devotees. They were serving everybody who was coming there. Even the dogs, it said. They used to give their portions that they begged. Can you imagine? They're Brajabasis. These dogs are Brajabasis. They saw no difference. It's a very wonderful expression of understanding that how Krishna feels about all the living entities, you know, in all situations of life. They had this grasp. They had this purity that they felt compassion for everyone and each other. So it's a wonderful message, and it's a wonderful book, this book, if you read through it. It's very juicy. And you see the path of a devotee to Krishna consciousness, as Mother Prasada. So she's brought us, you know, a message, clear message. Any other comments, questions? And remember, we're all adopted children, isn't it? We're all adopted. We don't know, you know. As I said to my daughter, she was adopted. You don't need to worry. Krishna's adopted. We're all adopted. You don't need to worry about the calculations of this world. Why am I adopted? Why am I this? Why am I that? It's not a sign. You have a path according set by the Super Soul in this lifetime. It's ordained. And it's not a case of blood relation. It's a case of you have a divine providence acting for you, a super soul, through your life. And certain things are going to happen to you that will blow you apart. But again, Krishna will put you back together again through the devotees, the spiritual master, the spiritual guides, the sastras. They'll put us back together again. Because this path is as I say, it can be a difficult path, you know, but not impossible. Not like the world for the fallen living entities who are carrying on in the material existence, repeated birth and death. Right, we have at least a goal. Like George Harrison said, he had a goal after he met Prabhupada. He knew there was something more than what we saw in this world. And he realized it. By experience, this world has nothing really to offer us. He had everything, but Prabhupada told him there's something else to go for. He gave him a goal, that which exists forever. Okay. Any comments, questions? No. Okay. Well. Enjoy prasad now, the mercy of the Lord, cooked for us by a wonderful cook. He's endeavouring to please us. Okay. Srimad Bhavatam Kishan, Srila Pamban Kishan, Nitai Go Premanandi, Hadi Bhavatam.